This morning, if you have a Bible, I would ask that you would open it to Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him in all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let him praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all depths, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and all flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for the joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment that is written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. That is why we are gathered here. Do you have breath this morning? Well, if you do, you were created for one purpose, to praise the Lord. You know, as I studied this, have you ever thought what it would be like if that last verse there in Psalm, instead of saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, what if it said, let everything that praises the Lord have breath? I'm curious, how many of us would be alive right now if our every single breath depended on it being lifted up in praise to the Lord? I want to submit to you this morning that the God who we praise in this room, who we worship in this room, deserves nothing less than every single breath we breathe. That's where I want us to start this morning. On the Lord. And on our affections for the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of every single breath that we breathe. You are worthy of our adoration. You are worthy of all of our praises. Lord, this morning as we dive into your word, I pray that we would be focused on you, not the distractions that are in this world, not the burdens that we bear, but Lord, that we would give you all of our attention and our focus and our adoration this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, Pastor Wayne asked me to speak. You can tell he was up here leading us in communion and offering, so nothing's wrong with him. But for those of you all who are visiting and don't know who I am, my name's Jake Deschler. I'm the youth pastor here at Wellington Church. And I just want to prepare you. This morning is going to be a little bit different than some of us are used to. As you've no doubt noticed, I didn't have anybody stand for scripture reading. One, because that would be a long time to stand. And two, because I just wanted us to focus on the words that were being read there. See, I want us to come aside from our normally weekly diet of in-depth study in a particular text of Scripture and instead kind of take a sky view approach in Scripture. You'll notice that outline that you have there, if you flip over, it's blank, right? There's nothing on it, no words, and that's on purpose. There's not going to be many slides up on the screen, so if you're a visual learner like me, just hang in with me. We're going to get through it together, I promise. But I wanted to strip everything away. I want to just focus as we look past 17 and on into 2018. I want us to take a time to have just a heart-to-heart, so to speak, for the first Sunday morning worship of 2018. See, about a month ago, I was asked to speak about a vision of outreach and serving and missions. And I've really struggled on how to do this well. And I've spent hours in prayer. Lord, what should I say? Where do I go? Where do I dive into your word? How do I do this well? And after much time in prayer, much guidance sought, I decided I'm not going to speak about missions or outreach or serving directly at all. See, as we start 2018, I'm convinced that we need to step back. And we need to say, do we really believe what we really believe this? Do we really believe that God is holy? Do we really understand that we are followers of Christ? And do we understand the impact means to be a follower of Christ? Are we open to receiving challenges? Are we open to being challenged? And before you think, you know, is he talking about me? Are you telling me that I don't love God, that I don't live my life around Scripture, that I don't really understand how holy God is? Well, let me answer that. Yes. But more importantly, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me. We need to have these healthy questions as a way to reflect on who God is and our affections towards him. If you're unfamiliar with what was just read, those were the end of the book of Psalms, three chapters, and they are all about praising the Lord. And as I prayed about how to open this morning, I came to these Psalms because missions, serving, outreach, evangelism, giving, generosity, unity, evangelism, faithfulness, strength, boldness, they are all characteristics of being a follower of Christ, and they are all simply outworkings or overflow of our relationship with Christ. You're not going to evangelize if you don't love the Lord. You're not going to serve in the church and outside of the church if you don't love the Lord. You're not going to be missions-minded if you don't have a love for the Lord. You're not going to care about unity. You're not going to be faithful if it doesn't start with your love for the Lord. And so this morning, we must ask some difficult but helpful questions. And the reason is, we want to guard against tendencies, certainly, that are so prevalent in our culture. But honestly, and to be candid, the church, even this church. See, it is culturally acceptable and far too easy for our flesh to merely sit back and be a faith family. Consumers. People who just play church. And they go through this monotonous routine, right? We come to church, we sing, we learn, and we leave. rinse, and repeat. And before we get defensive and say, I don't do this, that's not me. What are you saying? We're part of the perfect church. We're doing it right. You must be thinking about other churches. You must be talking about other Christians. Well, side note, first, no local church is perfect, so we can go ahead and swipe that one out of the room. And if you think you're a part of a perfect church, let me promise you this, that is nothing short of ignorant arrogance. There will be no perfect church until the bridegroom returns, amen? Because we are finite people. It's okay to admit it. It's okay to be transparent. We're fallen. We need Jesus. All of our hope must be in Christ. We must have a posture of humility and realize who we are. It's not like we're hiding that fact from the Lord. He knows who you are. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And second, we must never have an arrogant mindset to say we're doing it all right, because we're not. And we never will. And if we're heading in the right direction, praise God, because it is alone because of his grace that we are heading in that right direction. But when we think about other churches and we think about other Christians and we speak negatively, be cautious. Because we are finite. We must pray for more of God and less of us. That's what Paul is talking about when he addresses all these churches. Instead of putting others down, we need to pray for God to change all of our hearts, because none of us are perfect, and we must resemble more and more of him and less and less and less and less and less of us. Amen? But that's a bunny trail. Sorry. Back to the questions. I want to also clearly point out, I'm not accusing you of anything this morning. Okay? I'm simply asking, are we collectively and individually at times guilty of doing these things, being consumers, making it all about us, so much so that we even get in the way? Are these things even in our mind? Right? Do we even care? These are healthy questions. Are we praying about how we can be faithful to how the Lord has instructed us in his word? Are we praying about what sacrifices we should, not could, we should make in this world to glorify him? Are we even aware of these things? Are we willing to order our lives around this book, our church around this book, this living word? That's where it all starts. I've asked myself these questions, and there are some things that God has been doing in my heart recently and in the past few months and really the past few years. And so to address all this, I want to borrow an illustration and give full credit to David Platt. You'll see the title is Blank Check. That is an illustration from David Platt. And so I want to start with this blank page. I want us to imagine in our heads, there's 300 plus people in this room. Wipe away any building. Imagine no programs. Nothing but 300 plus people gathered. Which, by the way, is what a church is, right? A gathering of people. And let's ask these questions heart to heart. How can we be more faithful in 2018, Lord? That's where I want to challenge us with this blank check. I want us to give God a blank check, not just this morning, but for all of 2018. And what do I mean by blank check? I mean, as individuals, as a faith family, as the leadership of this church, to say to God with our lives, Lord, whatever you want from me, take it. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Lord, whatever you want me to give, I will give. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. This is a blank check with my life. You fill it out. You set the amount. And I'll go. And I'll obey. To say to God, God, if you want us to sell this building, we'll do it. If you want us to eliminate every single program in this church, we will do it. If you want us to reorganize how we do this, we will do it. Here's a blank check. No strings attached. You lead the way. So I want us to look in Acts 1 and 2, reasons why this kind of blank check is required as followers of Christ. And so feel free to write these down. They're not going to be on the screen again because I wanted to strip everything away. We're going to look at reasons why we must give God a blank check as individuals and as a church. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." Okay, so a couple of quick things. What is the first book he's referring to? Well, see, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is the author of Acts, which is what we're reading, and the book of Luke, which is the Gospel of Luke. The name kind of gives away the author, in case you didn't know. And see, Luke and Acts were one work. They were two volumes. And so next, we move on to, well, what did Jesus do, and what did he teach? And this is really important. Jesus secured our salvation, amen? The finished work of Christ. He finished it at the cross. And in case you're unaware of it, this is the gospel, right? And if you're unsure with what the gospel is the good news that the just and gracious creator of the universe has looked upon hopelessly sinful men and women and has sent his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection to everyone that turns from their sin and themselves trusts in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and that's key, Lord is key, of their life will be reconciled to God forever. That is good news. We could go home on that truth, amen? Some of you probably are thinking, I'm ready to go. No, I'm just kidding. I had to lighten it up. It's very serious right now. So what did Jesus do? He secured our salvation. And what did Jesus teach? Well, we could spend literally all morning, afternoon, and evening on that, and I know you don't. Maybe some of you do, but you don't want to do that probably. And so let me sum it up in one phrase. Jesus taught us what it looked like for us to truly love the Lord, truly delight, I gotta stop moving my arm, delight in God. So why in 2018 should we give God a blank check with our lives? Well, ultimately, because us delighting in or loving the Lord is what Jesus freed us and taught us to do, amen? That's what we're meant to do. And so then we get to another question. Well, okay, what does it mean to delight in God? Do you know what I mean when I say that? See, delighting in God equals satisfaction in God. And so John Piper says it this way. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So are we satisfied in God? Looking back in 2017, were we satisfied in God? And I realize that's a heavy question. I can't even imagine what all of us have walked through this past year, good and bad. With sickness, with death, with stress, financial burdens, pain, spousal relationships, parental relationships, relationships with other people, coworkers, personal, spiritual warfare, and a whole list of other things that are the product of sin. But that's what was so encouraging about what Kevin just sang. In the midst of all of that, we can be satisfied in God because all of our hope is not in ourselves, not in our accomplishments, but it's in Jesus. Have we given God praise this past year? You see the picture. I'm not asking, what have you done? Because I'm not really concerned with your works. I'm concerned with our heart. Just like I'm not concerned with what we as a faith family do or do not do. I'm concerned with our affections toward the living God. I care how much we love the holy God who deserves nothing short than all of our affections, all of our praise, all of our priorities, all of our breath. That's what motivates us to give God a blank check. It's our affections for him. And you may think, well, okay, are you just telling us we need to love Jesus and then we can walk? That's it. We're done. Well, that's great advice. But what about parenting? What about missions? What about serving? What about evangelism? What about caring for the widow? What about the orphan? What about the poor? What about the lost? What about the unreached? What about all these things? Loving God does not answer any of that. Well, praise God that those are the questions that we're asking. Because those are the right questions to be asking. How does loving Jesus answer all of those questions? Hear me out when I say that. We must understand that being supremely satisfied in the one who is supremely satisfying is our highest obligation as followers of Christ. It is all about his glory. It's why we give God a blank check with our lives. Look with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. They're speaking of Jesus here. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, Jesus said when asked, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We know that. That's the first and greatest commandment. That's not news to us. But what we need to understand and what we need to see is that loving God is working for God. Loving God is not working for God. And some ears may perk up at that. Well, what about John 14, 15, Jake? Don't you know your Bible? It says, if you love me, Jesus speaking here, you will obey my commandments. You will keep my commandments. And yes, you are right, and I'm glad your ears perk up at that. Because here's what we have to understand about that. Love is the root. Obedience is the fruit. In other words, love for God must be supreme in our lives in order for us to be obedient. We must be rooted in our love for the Lord in order to have this outworking or this overflow of obedience. You can't give God a blank check if you do not love him supremely. If you love your boat more than you love Jesus, you're going fishing. If you love UK or Alabama or Georgia more than you love Jesus, you're going to the games. That's where you'll get excited. That's where your praise will be. If you love your job more than Jesus, you will care more about your job. You put in the idol. And certainly, we all have things that we struggle with. But this morning, as we think about 2018, may our affections be focused on the one who is supremely satisfying. Your boat does not satisfy. Sports do not satisfy. Kids do not satisfy. Jobs do not satisfy. Not more than the Savior. I promise you that. Jesus demands and deserves all of our affections. Do you want to evangelize more? Do you want to be involved in missions? Do you want to care for the widow, the orphan, the poor? Do you want to reach the unreached? Do you want to proclaim the gospel to the lost? It is impossible if you do not have love for Jesus. And I would argue that if we are not concerned with these things, we do not love the Lord the way he has commanded us to love him. This is real. These are not just idealistic ideas. Well, in a perfect world, the perfect Christian would do these things. No. We must know that proclaiming his glory is what we should be known for. Reaching the lost with the truth of Jesus Christ, that is what we should be known for. So that when they look at Wellington Church, 300 plus people, not a building, not programs, nothing other than the people, they will see the Savior. You say, you're pretty passionate about this. Yeah. And I'm pretty guilty. I need to grow. I need this word. I need to love you more. God, give us a passion for you. If you say yes to all of these things, then we must be individuals and a church who has a great love for God. That is where it starts. We must have an obsession with Jesus, an addiction to Christ. God, give us a passion for you. Give us a love for you. He is King of all. That's not a suggestion. That's a reality. And praise God, it's a reality. If we have that kind of affection for our Lord in 2018, oh, how he will use us for his glory, not ours. If we acknowledge that important truth, how God will use us. Now let me also clarify this. I'm not saying that it's all on you, because that would be legalism or moralism or pride. We must acknowledge that Jesus has given us all power, right? He has given us, Wayne just talked about it, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has given us the power to accomplish these things. Look at Acts 1:8. Jesus informs the apostles that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. It is then and only then when they will be able to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and then to the end of the earth. See, anytime we see the church heading in the right direction, they're multiplying, they're growing, it's not a result of man's works or man's intelligence or man's charismatic personality. No, no, no. It's a result of the Spirit working and man falling in line. Humility. And Christ kept his word, right? If you flip over, I know, survey here, to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you were to keep reading, you would see Peter give the first sermon, and because of that sermon, because of Christ working through Peter, the Holy Spirit working through Peter, 3,000, about 3,000 are added to their number. Do we pray for the Spirit to move in our lives individually and as a church? Are we concerned with the truth of the gospel? May we rely and trust on his Spirit, giving us new hearts and true and right desires in this world, renewing our minds so that we're focused on the King. Do we see it? This is biblical truth. We want to go into the community. It's not about what we do. It's about whether we love the Lord enough to submit to his leadership, what he's told us in his word. We want to give to missions, then we need to love the Lord. And out of that love for the Lord, he will give us a true heart for what he cares about, reaching the lost. If you don't love God, you cannot be obedient to him. That's why we must love him more and more. What's stopping us? He is worthy. Look what else he says there in Matthew 22. He says, love the Lord, your neighbors, yourself. Why do we give God a blank check in 2018? So that we might love people more. See, do we acknowledge that Jesus is the one who's it's not us? We give God a blank check because we can be confident in the fact that he is trustworthy. Amen? Our lives are safe in the Savior's hands. Paul knew this. James knew this. Timothy knew this. Peter knew this. That's how they could endure what they endured. It's because they were in the Savior's hands. Whatever this world throws at them, it does not matter because Jesus is our only hope. It's about his glory. Not my safety, not my comfort. See, the church spread out of love for God, and that love for God results in a love for people. That's how Peter could walk into that sermon. You had all the Jews gathered at Pentecost, the Jews who, by the way, were responsible for sending Christ to the cross. And Jesus preaches Peter preaches salvation to them. You imagine someone you love and you've spent time with dying. And then you imagine going to them and preaching the good news of Christ. That only happens if you love Christ supremely. Love for people is the overflow of joy, which is the love for God. Do we have joy in the Lord this morning? Do we acknowledge that joy overflows? And generosity by its nature is love. Meaning, if you are unable to love, if you don't have joy in God. Notice that Christ puts love of people equal with love of God. And the point is, it's going to overflow. Your love for the Lord will produce for others, a love for the community. If we as individuals and as a church don't have a love for people, if we aren't concerned with people in our community, if we aren't concerned for the unreached, then we do not love God in the way he has commanded us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is scripture. This is not my opinion. So in 2018, are you telling us you want to do more? No. That's the wrong question. That's the wrong starting place. The right question to ask in 2018 is, how can we love God more? By giving him a blank check with our lives. Let him send you where he would send you. Pray for him to do immeasurably more through you. That's why we are here. That's the purpose of following after him. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Give him complete control. It's no longer you taking the wheels. Paul's telling us that. I've been crucified. And since I've been crucified, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Who controls my life? It is Christ who lives in me. It's his life, not mine, no longer. The life that I live is now lived in the flesh. And I live by faith in the Son of God. This earth, while in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Why? Because it is him who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is an amen moment. He is worthy. As you continue to walk through the book of Acts, you see the reality of people losing their lives. They're getting beheaded. We see communities and cities scattered to the nations, starting churches in every single place they go. Acts 17:6 would say, these people are turning the world upside down. And see, I'm just wondering if the Lord can use them, why not us? If we have the same Spirit of God in this room, why can't we be a part of something like that? To borrow a line from Mark Stoops, football fans, why not? Setting goals is great. Having a vision is great. Knowing where we're going or how we're going to get there in 5 years, that's all good. But as individuals and as a church, before we do any of that, it starts at loving the Lord. And then these other things, they're going to come. And if it's out of a love for the Lord, it's not going to be our ideas and our thoughts and our approaches. It's going to be the Lord's guiding us and leading us. See, we can't be focused on what we are doing. We got to be focused on what he is doing. Not how we're going to change things, but how he has set things to be. Right? For example, how many of you all have made New Year's resolutions? Everyone, right? Spiritually, it's I want to read the Bible more every day. Or I want to pray every day for this amount of time. Maybe it's I'm not going to eat bacon for at least 3 months, which is a foolish goal. And how many of us have already failed? Like, my wife and I, we were like, I'm going to start clean eating January 1st. January 1st, hey, Papa John's. if you hit it with napkins, it's fine. It's healthy. But how condemning is life when we look at it that way? we set goals and then we fail and then we're not worthy. And then we just quit altogether. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. See, spiritually, when we put our performance as the standard of our relationship with the Lord, we're going to fail. That's why we need Jesus. Our salvation is not based on our performance. It's based on the finished work of Christ at the cross. Our response leads us to love for the Lord, not for ourselves. We should pray to the Lord. We should read our Bibles. We should do these things, but only if we're desiring the Lord, not just to check it off. See, a desire for the Lord will produce spiritual disciplines where you can read Scripture and you can pray and you can seek after Him. But if you start trying to do all these things before you have a desire for the Lord, you are going to end up a failure and you're going to stop and you're going to feel like you're pathetic. And that's just not true. God knows you are weak, humble, meek, and He has given us His Spirit. Give us hope, Lord, and we give you a blank check to use us and work through us. So how is this possible? How is any of this possible? Acts 2, 1 through 13, it's going to be on the screen. I'm not going to go into it too in depth. But the whole picture, again, is at Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes, right? And there's a tendency in our day, we just talked about it. Well, we're just waiting for the Spirit to come. And then when the Spirit comes, He's going to do this or that. And see, the beauty is that the Spirit has come. There is no need to wait. He is here. The person of God in spirit is here. See, they needed to wait in Acts chapter 1. As you read that, they needed to wait. Jesus told them to wait. But in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit came. And the rest of the time, there's no waiting. There's running. So let's take up that mindset. The Spirit is here. Give God a blank check and let's run after Him. He enables us. He empowers us. We not only need to give God a blank check in 2018 because of the Spirit, but also because the stakes are high. You get to the end of Acts chapter 2, and it says, and they heard what Peter said. They were cut to their heart. They asked, what should we do after Peter gives this sermon? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. It says in verse 40, and many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them. So feel the passion of what Peter is saying here. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Brothers and sisters, the stakes are high because they are eternal. It is not a game. This is about eternity. There are lives for all of eternity at line. They will either spend everlasting eternity in joy with the Lord or in everlasting suffering in hell. Do we realize that truth? That people around us in Nicholasville, Lexington, Woodford, and everywhere else, that if they don't come to saving faith in Christ, that they will spend eternity burning in hell, separate. That there are people every single day in this world who die without ever hearing the name of Jesus. Are we okay with that? If we love the Lord, we are not. Because if we really believe that that is what's at stake, well, then comfortable Christianity, consumerism Christianity, it's just not possible. We're going to end on this. We give God, lastly, the blank check because He deserves glory. Do we acknowledge that the glory of Christ leaves us no other obligation, no other option? God has made Him, this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:36 says. He is the risen Savior. He is the exalted Lord. Jesus is the Lord, and we want His glory more than we want our comforts. We want His glory more than we want to do things the way that we've done things before. We want His glory more than we want our traditions. We want His glory more than we want our preferences. We want His glory to all the nations, His glory to all the community. His glory is deserving of all. Do we believe it? That's why we give Him a blank check. And we're motivated because Christ is coming back. And we give Him a blank check because He leaves us eager with anticipation. Acts 1:11 says, "This Jesus whom you've seen raised up into heaven is coming back." Let me say that again. Jesus is coming back. Death could not hold Him. He raised and He ascended. He is coming back, church. And He could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. He could come back in 20 years. Who knows the time or place? But Matthew 24:14 says that He is going to come back when the gospel of His kingdom has been preached to all the nations. So He's coming back at the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So the last question I would ask, that we could see the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our day. We have the resources, certainly, right? And most importantly, we have the Spirit of God. We can't think that it's out of thought. Could we actually see the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our day? Wellington, brothers and sisters in Christ, I say we die trying because He is worthy. This is us as a faith family saying that we are putting the check on the table. Use it. Write out the amount. Doesn't matter. Move me to Ohio. I'm going. Move me to Argentina. There's no one there. I'm going. Will you love people? Will you follow Christ? Will you surrender all? Will you glorify Him? But most importantly, will you give Him the most of your affections? In 2018, that's where it starts. And I can promise you, He's worthy and He sustains and He satisfies completely. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would, as we think about 2018, we would not think about what we're going to do, not think about how we're going to do it, but first and foremost, Lord, that we would think about our love for You and our desire for You. May we be satisfied in You, and may our love for You be what overflows into how we display our love for You. May we truly know that the love for God, for You, Lord, is foundational, and the obedience is an outworking of how we love You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.